from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Dude.
I guess you've got a point there.
This is Sports Sunday.
Hey, Skid Mark Steve.
Hey, dude.
You still just hanging out playing Nintendo?
Well, if you must know, I'm in my second year of med school, and I'm training for the summer games. What are you two up to?
Just hanging out, playing Nintendo.
A recap of the sports week, a preview of today's games, and next week's big stories.
Do you think Shaq got rich playing in Orlando? Hardly. He made his fortune moving to L.A. You know how much he makes now?
As much as he made playing in college?
What? No.
Now, here are Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher.
What happened out there?
You know, it was a team effort, and I guess it took every player working together to lose this one.
Thanks, Doug. And so...
Hey, want to do an interview with me?
No.
With Sports Sunday on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Bob, in all my years of calling games, I don't think I've ever been this excited.
You're excited? Feel these nipples.
Hour number two, Sports Sunday, right here on 1080 The Fan. Joe Fisher the third. And across the faux marble table, once again, Rashad Taylor.
Good to see you guys, man.
We can all feel each other's nipples again.
Absolutely, man.
I can't believe it. Well, that's what's happening in the YouTube feed during commercial break.
Nipple
you just can't see it anymore. Yeah. Jordan Schultz behind the glass. We got divisional previews to continue here, and we go with Rashad Taylor's AFC East.
The best conference in football.
The Patriots conference to lose.
Yes. Let's go. LFG.
New York Jets.
Over under win total for your Patriots, Rashad. I can't believe it. The lowest in the NFL.
I'm not super surprised.
4.5.
Yeah. Yeah.
I
probably would say closer to 5, but 4.5.
Well,
sounds...
5 is just above 4.5.
Yeah,
actually, believe it or not, it is a half above 4.5.
Hey,
I don't expect much from Gerard Mayo and this team quite yet. Like, and I mean, you got Drake May, you know, out of North Carolina, you know, third overall in this draft?
Yes.
Yeah, something crazy. Then you went and drafted another quarterback in the sixth.
Joe Milton, baby.
You missed out on, you know, Brandon Ayuk, you know, which could have been something that could have helped the offense a little bit. Lose one of your best defenders prior to the season starting. Yeah, I think 4 to 5.
Well, granted, he didn't really seem like he wanted to be there.
No, I mean, when you're expected to win 4 games, I probably wouldn't want to be there either. However, the Patriots are one of those, not the Patriots, but they're one of those teams that nobody expects much from. And those are usually the teams that end up doing pretty well. Like, oh man, who knew they would win 7 to 8 games? So do I think it's possible for them to win 8 games? 7? Not particularly. They've got a pretty tough schedule to start the season. You know, they're at Cincinnati. Then they're at their Jets, which is one of their rivals, obviously. Then they're at San Francisco. That's 3 of your first 4 games of the season. So them starting 1-3 or potentially 0-4 isn't out of the realm of possibility. We're still not sure what to expect from Seattle yet. I think Seattle's a better team.
Is that what, week 3?
That's week 2.
Week 2?
With Seattle. Like, so there's a good chance the Patriots go 0-4 to start, and then 0-5 after they play Miami. And then, they got to play Houston. And then Jacksonville's probably the one win that they could potentially get. But I think it's going to be a tough season for my Patriots.
If Jacksonville loses to this Patriots team, that's the pitchforks will be out in Duval County.
Yeah.
Dude, looking at the depth chart, I mean, it is just – I mean, Kendrick Bourne is at risk of missing the first 4 weeks at wide receiver. So outside of him, I mean, you're looking at wide receiver-wise – DeMario Douglas, Jalen Polk out of Washington.
In the blue hell.
Jalen Reagor.
Who's that?
Who, Jalen Polk?
Jalen Reagor.
Oh, I mean, he was the Eagles, Polk, like, from, third guy. Yeah, former first-round pick from Jalen of Jalen Reagor, I believe, was picked one pick before Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, so...
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Like, it's kind of bare bones when you start looking at that depth chart, especially when you start from the quarterback position. We're not sure what we're going to get from Drake May. I think a lot of people were really high on Mac Jones at a point.
McCorkle?
We saw how that
McCorkle threw 2 touchdowns yesterday.
McCorkle Jones?
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see how that works out, but I think it's going to be a long, long season in New England.
The ESPN headline for the Patriots right now, has the team done enough to support Drake May on the offensive line? That's
no,
a big fat.
No.
No.
No, they re-signed their center. I think they brought him on for an extra year. He's been one of their mainstays. I get that. But, like, don't they have, like, a bunch of young linemen? Their blind side is one of the reworkings that they're having to do right now. They're done. I mean, they have no offense. They have no quarterback. Jacoby Brissett is still technically listed as their starter. I would be shocked. I cannot imagine anybody wanting to go freeze their ass off and tailgate down in Foxborough at a New England Patriots game this year. That stadium better be hella empty.
Well, it looks like they'll be running out a third-round pick this year, rookie left tackle for the blind side.
There we go.
So, again, I mean, the question is, do the Patriots want Drake May to get killed at the very beginning of the season or halfway through the season? Do you want to run Jacoby Brissett out there until you just can't anymore?
I think Jacoby Brissett is a serviceable quarterback to start your season with, and especially if you're Drake May, at least to kind of get familiar with the offense and everything like that. I don't think it's a bad idea to throw out Jacoby Brissett just to start the season, first 5 weeks, especially through that kind of a murder's row kind of first 4 or 5 games for this Patriots team. Like, yeah, you need to go with every advantage, and right now Jacoby Brissett is the veteran. I say throw him out there and see what happens. Give Drake May an opportunity to learn.
Woof. Best of luck. Best of luck,
it's
bud.
It's going to be a tough one.
Yeah, I'm going to go under on that 4.5.
You're going under?
I'm going under. I mean, they play the Jets twice. Aaron Rodgers is at least going to beat them once, even though the Jets are tumultuous as hell, which we'll get to. But, yeah, nah, I don't even see them succeeding within their division.
All right. To get back on the clock for the rest of the 3 teams, I want to take a break here because from – all the divisions in the NFL, this one looks like it could potentially be the tightest race at the top. I mean, last week we talked about the Texans, the Jags, and the Titans, and how, the Colts. The Texans, the Jags, and the Colts. Those 3 teams having, like, over-under win totals around 8.5, 9.5. This division, to me, is potentially the most interesting as far as who can come out on top. We get to that next here, Sports Sunday, AFC East Divisional Preview. Joe Fisher, Rashad Taylor, Jordan Schultz, right here on 1080 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Wingstop saving lives out here.
Oh man! Shout out to Wingstop, especially if you get a home, especially if you get a player's order right.
I asked Rashad during the break. I was like, all right, what was like the, because you didn't eat for like a week and a half after the surgery, and I'm like, all right, what was the first food you had to eat like by force, like doctor's orders, and then the first food that you ate like willingly by choice, and what was the forced one? Egg whites.
The forced one was. They put me on a no-fat diet, so nothing that's delicious, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
And so
yeah.
I had egg whites and wheat toast with no butter.
And can't clog you up.
As I'm eating the food, and I just look miserable because it's terrible, and the doctor comes in and was like, man, since you've lost so much weight, you can eat whatever you want. And I turned to my wife and said, there's a Wingstop right across the street. Just get me a six-piece.
Give me that lemon pepper loo special,
and my guy bought me mind you, I'm in the doctor, medicated, so to speak, in a while.
Other than the medication that they give you?
Other than the morphine they were giving me, which I absolutely stopped taking after like 2 days.
There's a green, earthy substance out there that I hear is good for medication as well.
My blood pressure was so high, bro. It was like 160 over like 120. Like, it was always super, super high.
Yeah.
My man bought me that J, and the next time I took my blood pressure, it was like 120 over.
Yep.
Over 80 or something like that. It was like, it was always super low. I had that first bite of Wingstop and I cried, bro. Like, it was like a real thing. Like, for real. Like, no, I was like, man, I didn't think I was going to be able to eat like regular food for a while. And after not being able to eat or drink anything for like 10 days, yo, I got a joint and some wings, like, all at one time within the same 10 minutes. Like,
now, did you go like ice cold like Coca-Cola or like a fruit punch? Like,
just
what,
water. I just wanted water. Okay. I just wanted water, man. Like, I don't care about anything else. Like, I'll drink some other stuff later, but like, for now, at that point, man, just give me some water. I'm thirsty.
Wingstop marinated in lemon pepper sauce and Rashad's tears.
That's
tasty.
Exactly what, you know exactly what kind of wings they were, because they were absolutely lemon pepper.
They were?
Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
Yes. I haven't cooked up some lemon pepper in a while, and I was going through the seasonings the other day, making something, and I was like, what's this back here? I was like, oh, my lemon pepper mm-hmm. seasoning. I was like, this needs to happen here soon.
It needs to go on everything.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Continue our AFC East preview. Three teams in this division, all with about 10.5, 9.5 over under win totals. Actually, let me double check this. Hot route. So yeah, the Bills are the only team with a 10.5 over under win total, but the Dolphins and Jets both at 9.5. Again, as far as divisions go and their odds also to win the division, I mean, the Bills are plus 165, 175 at some places. The Jets plus 170, plus 185 at some places. And then the Dolphins at plus 220, plus 210. I mean, all those really jam-packed right at the top, very close odds to win the division. I don't think so far from doing these divisional previews, I have seen a division in three teams that close to each other as far as odds to win the division.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy, right? It used to be we knew who was going to win the division. It was going to be the Patriots, and then everybody else is battling for second place.
But I'm on this page, VegasInsider.com. The Bills, they've won the division the last 4 years. But from 2003 to 2019, I mean, we all lived through it. Every single year except 2008, the Patriots won.
That was the Jets in 2008, right?
It was the Dolphins.
Okay.
I remember that year. 2008, I want to believe that was the Brady injury year? No. He tore his knee.
Yeah, that was the injury year.
Dolphins.
Yeah, that was the injury year.
Jay Fiedler still their quarterback in 08?
That might have been a Matt Moore year.
Matt Moore, yeah. That makes more sense.
I do remember also a year of Chad Pennington.
Oh, yes. He left the Jets, and they thought he was going to save them for a couple
years. They went to the playoffs 1 year with Chad Pennington and then got absolutely boat raced by the Ravens game.
Remember what Joe Namath said about Chad Pennington. He's a passer, not a thrower, and I want to kiss you, Susie Colbert.
No, I want to kiss you. God.
Well, and to his credit, I believe he has said that caused him to stop drinking because he looked and was embarrassed. But I'm sorry. One of the funniest clips of all time in sports 100%. ever.
So, the Jets, I mean, listen, it was last year and it's this year too. The entire season for the Jets lies on the arm, shoulders, or the Achilles of Aaron Rodgers. He stays healthy, that team has a chance. Now, granted, even if he stays healthy, how old is he now? 39, 40?
I think he's about 40.
Has he eclipsed the 40 mark?
41.
We've seen Father Time come for quarterbacks. We've seen Father Time come for quarterbacks that used to be a Packer and then played for the New York Jets, a la Brett Favre. I mean, even with Aaron Rodgers playing a full 17-game season, what the Jets are going to look like, it will be very interesting. They have some good weapons. They got Mike Williams from the Chargers at wide receiver. They have Garrett Wilson, Breece Hall as their running back. And then they went and got the kid out of Wisconsin, Braylon Allen, at running back that will back him up. So I do like their pieces offensively. But again, it lives and dies with the health and performance of Aaron Rodgers, full stop.
Man, I don't know what else to say. They go as far as Aaron Rodgers will take them. You know, you have a good team in place. You have, you know, good corners, or at least will run really good corner. You have a good receiver, at least one of those. So I think in every position, you've got one of every skill position that should make it not pretty easy, but, you know, a little easier for Aaron Rodgers to do his thing if he can stay upright. First game of their season is against San Francisco, at San Francisco. I think most of us expect San Francisco to win that game.
Is that like a Sunday night game?
That
or
is a Monday night
Monday
game.
Monday night, yeah.
That is a Monday night.
I was going to say,
game.
I would expect, yeah, first game back for Aaron Rodgers, the 49ers, that's a big matchup there.
That's a big game. But, you know, after that, they have a pretty what I think a lot of people would consider a pretty winnable schedule. You know, after that, they've got Tennessee. I think most of us expect them to beat Tennessee.
Yeah.
They've got New England. I think we all expect them to beat New England. They've got Denver, which we're still not really sure.
Wow, those three right off the
bat. Right off the bat. And then Minnesota, you know. And so,
my God.
So they have an opportunity.
Literally, I think those are the four teams with – Minnesota might not be, but – as far as win totals go,
yeah.
I know Denver, the Patriots, obviously, and the Titans, those three are near the bottom. The Vikings are somewhere near the bottom, but yeah. My God.
So they're expected to win 11 games, and it's, you know, and after that they play Buffalo, but then they go right to Pittsburgh, and then they play New England again. So they have an opportunity to really start the season on a high note, you know, outside of that first game. And if they can go ahead and get that first game against San Francisco.
That'd be wild, yeah.
I mean,
is that in San Francisco?
That is in San Francisco. Okay. So, and a lot of those games, though, they have four games in a row that are at home, you know, against the Pats, the Broncos, the Vikings, and the Bills. All those games are home games. So they have an opportunity to really start the season on a high note. And if they can do that, you know, it's pretty much easy sailing for them for the rest of the year.
Yeah. I mean, I had not looked at their schedule yet, but yeah, just those four games to start the year after the 49ers matchup. I mean, again, NFL football, anything can happen. One of those teams comes through and upsets them. But, yeah, you couldn't ask for as far as New York Jets fan. And it's all about momentum in the season, too. You take the season in, you know, quadrants and fourths, you know, and thirds. And if you're able to come out of the first 5 weeks 4-1, I mean, they'll take that any day of the
Absolutely.
Week.
Absolutely they will. So.
Looking at the other two teams in this division, I mean, the Bills and the Dolphins, those are the two teams that were fighting for the division title last year, the last week of the season. The Dolphins, it's very interesting because they had a great year last year until things kind of fell apart at the end, and they lost the division in the last couple weeks. They lost it in the last week of the season against the Bills. They had some injuries pile up on defense, and then they had to go and play in negative 20 degree weather in Kansas City in the playoff game and got exposed in that one. But now you're coming through into this season with a much, much, much more richer Tua Tagovailoa. And there's part of me that it's like with these quarterbacks getting these contracts, it's like in football, it's much different than basketball. Like basketball, some guys get paid and it's just like they get their paycheck and they check out. Mm-hmm. Football, you can't really have – a lot of these guys don't have that mentality because it is such a brutal, physical,
you can't check
violent
out
sport.
Football.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and the guaranteed money is a lot less in the NFL too.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But still, as a NFL quarterback, your guaranteed money – I mean, Tua, I don't know what his guaranteed money was. But, I mean, you're probably looking at 150, 160 mil, something like that.
They can get out of it kind of like the Geno Smith deal with the Seahawks in year four.
Yeah, so your expectations as a Dolphins fan, as a fan base, as a franchise, once you pay your guy, I mean, and he had a great year last year, one of his best years, and you were just hoping that he stayed upright for the full 17 games. That was like, check this box first for Tua, and he did. And then once you have those weapons like Tyreek Hill, like Jaylen Waddle, Devin Achane, I mean, like, they have this offense ready to go, and with Mike McDaniels as the head coach, so you expect a lot of the same this year. It's just a matter of, can they make up for how they finished on the defensive end? Can they stay healthy? But again, just like Trevor Lawrence, just like Jordan Love, when you're paying these guys as much as you're going to, you're expecting the championship. You're expecting to compete for the top of not just the division, but the NFL. And so all eyes are on Tua this year. It's like, all right, you need to improve. We're giving you this money not because of what you've done, but because what we expect you to do.
No, and then talking about a Jalen Wright, and you're talking about those two receivers you just mentioned, and Jaylen Waddle and Tyreek Hill, like, you're talking arguably the best offense in football, potentially, you know? And so you've got probably the best receiving core in football based on Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle. There's no reason that the Dolphins shouldn't be competing for not just the top of the AFC East, but potentially for the top of the AFC. You know, they should be right there in that mix with everybody else. If they can keep Tua healthy, meaning out of concussion protocols and on the field, then I see no reason. And then you look at their schedule, and if you thought that, you know, the Jets had a pretty good schedule. Like, they play Jacksonville, Buffalo, Seattle, Tennessee, New England, Indianapolis, Arizona. So those first few games of the season for them, you know, are some of them be kind of considered warm-up games for them, just based on who they are and based on who they're playing. I expect a whole lot from this Dolphins team, and if they can hold on at the end, I think they're going to be one of those teams that's competing with Kansas City to be the top of the AFC.
And Vancouver Ford text line, they do bring up a good point about the Dolphins. The Dolphins weren't great. They were good. They really struggle against good opponents. And, yeah, that was true. They were kind of like the Cowboys of the AFC last year, where they played very well against bad teams. I mean, we remember that game against the Broncos last year when they put up like 60 points or whatever it was against them. Or was it a 70-piece? Did they put up a 70-piece on the Broncos? I'm trying to remember, because I remember it was a damn embarrassing game. And the Dolphins had, like, it was a 70-piece. Yeah, it was 70-20 that final last year. So, yeah, I mean, that texter is absolutely right on the Vancouver Fort text line that they beat up on bad teams, and then when they played good opponents, they struggled. So it's a matter of if they can separate themselves from some of the teams in the AFC that are better than them as far as last year goes. Looking at the Dolphins' schedule, I want to get that pulled up. Do you have it in front of you?
I do.
How many, like, top tier AFC teams are they playing this year? Actually, just top tier teams in general, like AFC and NFC. Yeah,
so
like
they've got
teams
Buffalo
that we expect to contend for a championship.
They've got Buffalo week two.
So yeah, they'll get Buffalo twice.
They got the Jets,
Jets twice, Bills twice.
They got Houston and San Francisco week 15 and 16.
And they'll get the Packers too.
After that, Packers, you consider the Packers a Super Bowl contending team?
Again, as I mentioned, with these contracts that the quarterbacks are getting, like when you pay Jordan Love that much, and after what they did last year, beating the Cowboys like they did, and taking the 49ers up until the last snap, the final minutes of the game in the divisional round last year, there's no reason why the Packers should not think that they are competing as one of the best teams in the NFL.
I kind
of
think
the Lions might have something
back
to say about it, but I mean, again, when you have the season that you just did, the goal is not to be like, hey, let's just do that again. It's like, no, let's get better. Let's win that divisional round. Let's get to the conference championship. Let's win a Super Bowl. Like, again, you're paying Jordan Love the amount. It's be like, hey, dude, take us to this promised land.
Yeah, I kind of feel like of all the teams that made the playoffs last year, I think the Packers would be the one to probably take the biggest step backward. You look at Houston and they add a Stephon Diggs. Like, I mean, ooh, that kind of changes their trajectory. I don't know if Green Bay really made any additions like that that says that, man, they're going to be
Josh Jacobs
amazing
at running
Josh
back.
Was a big move, but was it big enough for them to really be a Super Bowl contender? We'll go ahead and put them in there. So if we are going to put Green Bay in there, that means they've got the two division games against both the Bills
and
the Jets.
Yeah.
They've got Houston, San Francisco, Green Bay.
So that's seven games right there where they're going to have to prove themselves.
Yeah.
Like, and win the majority of those.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, as the texter pointed out, their biggest flaw last year was losing against really good teams. Let's take a break and let's talk about the favorite in the division, the Buffalo Bills. And boy, after another disappointing playoff loss, they are still trying to get to the conference championship in the AFC.
Just once.
For the love of God, please. But man, they got an interesting season coming up, especially when it comes to the skills position. We get to the Buffalo Bills next, but first, Schultzy, Sports Center update. AFC East preview continues on here. Joe Fisher III, Rashad Taylor. Feels good to say.
It feels good to hear, bro.
Love having you back, man. I missed looking and just seeing you over there. That empty chair sucks.
I missed that teal, man. You know what I mean? I've missed seeing it, bro. Yeah.
All right. So the proverbial champion of this division over the last 4 years, the favorite to win this division, the Buffalo Bills. Man, they just cannot get past. Just like the entire NFL has a Patrick Mahomes problem.
Yes, it is a problem too.
Yes, especially when he's doing throwing behind the back passes. You know, yeah. Good luck.
he just keeps getting better and better every year, and it drives Josh Allen crazy.
Yeah, and this is just—it's going to be an interesting year because Josh Allen. I mean, he is who he is at this point. Fantastic quarterback. He'll beat you with his arm. He'll beat you with his legs. But over the last few years, his number one target has been Stephon Diggs. And that started to decline as the season went on last year. There was a little bit of butting of the heads as far as Stephon Diggs wanting to get the ball a little bit more. And that wasn't happening. But They still do have Dalton Kincaid and Dawson Knox as far as tight ends go. They drafted the rookie wide receiver out of Florida State, Keon Coleman. But a lot is going on his shoulders. It's a lot of like, hey, welcome in, young man. Okay, can you save us, please? Can you put up that type of production
right
away? Be
ready to
be a
huge part of this offense.
Exactly. It's like, yeah, they have Curtis Samuel, you know, whatever. He's had some decent moments when he was with the Panthers and I believe with Washington as well. So what you're hoping to get out of this offense, they still have James Cook, their running back, who ran all over the Cowboys last year. I remember that game and had some good matchups as well. Finished the year very strong. I don't know. It's weird. Like, the Bills should win this division, but the vibes with this team, like after what they went through in the AFC divisional round against the Chiefs last year, it's just like, what else do they have to do? Like, I mean, what else does Sean McDermott have to do? I mean, is it just they lost? It looks like they're losing Matt Milano, their linebacker, again, yeah, for a extended period of time, if not the season, again. I mean, he got injured late last year, but mm-hmm, it was a huge blow to them.
A fractured leg now or something like that?
I believe so, yeah. It's the Bills, again, it's just so weird to talk about them because you have the faith that they're going to be good this year, but did they get that much better?
I don't know. I don't think it was one of those addition by subtraction things. Whenever you lose a guy like Stephon Diggs, who I had in fantasy and always did well for me every week in fantasy, and for whatever reason was always wide open, you know, when Josh Allen decided to throw him the ball. So not having him there is a huge, it's a huge blow for them. And now you're expecting Keon Coleman to fill this huge void that Diggs left. Like, I think that's a big problem. But also, you know, Von Miller didn't have a single sack last year? Not one. You know?
I did not know
he's
that.
35, but so it shouldn't be that surprising. But I think the defense is going to take a step backwards just because you mentioned Matt Milano and the fact that he's going to be out. That changes what that defense kind of looks like. So now more pressure is on the broad shoulders of Josh Allen. And, you know, I think Sean McDermott has to figure out something quick. You know, maybe they go to an old school Patriots offense to where everything is 4 yards at a time, you know, dink and dunk type thing. But right now, I honestly think that this Buffalo project is kind of, it's starting to wrap up. Like, if they don't win sometime soon, like, how much more do you expect them to get to the AFC championship or to the, you know, divisional round, you know, every, like, it's tough to do. And when you're losing pieces, teams don't typically get better.
Well, and to reference that defense, that secondary is going to look a lot different now that they don't have Micah Hyde. They don't have Jordan Poyer, which, you know, they were getting older, a little bit more injury prone, especially on Poyer's side of things. But that's where it's just like, what did the Bills really do this offseason to improve their chances, improve their team? Again, are they going to be good? Yes. Should they win the division? Yes.
I don't know if they should. As I'm looking at their schedule now, it's like, okay, you got Arizona to start your season. We think we all expect them to beat Arizona. Miami, Jacksonville, Baltimore, Houston, Jets, Titans, Seattle, Dolphins, like Colts. And then they got the champs. Like, man, that's a pretty daunting.
Titans, and then, you know, the Seahawks, is that in Seattle?
That's in Seattle.
It's a long trip. That's, I mean, you're playing in Seattle regardless of who you are. That's always a tough matchup.
October 27th, so expect maybe some rain. Expect maybe some cold weather, you know, up there. So, yeah, I think that's kind of tough for them. So I don't know if I'm as confident as I was in Miami as far as being at the top of the AFC this year.
Yeah, and again, it's just, you list off that schedule, you list off as far as the additions and subtractions for this Buffalo Bills team. It almost seems like it's like, listen, we were that close last year. We were that close a few years in a row now. If we just stay the course, something's got to break for us eventually, right?
For sure.
And, I mean, hell, we saw it happen for the Bengals 1 year with Burrow, and that they made that championship Super Bowl game against the Rams. And so maybe that they are just hoping, like, listen, things got to break for us eventually, right? Like, yeah, the Mahomes thing is real, but At one of these times, it's got to be our time, right? So let's just stay on the track, stay on the course, make the moves where we need to, but let's not tinker with things too much and just hope that this is our year. You know, yeah. As many teams have that hope, I don't know, man, this is our year, that the Bills, this is their year, and that they're able to put it together. Again, but I hate to say it, a lot of it depends on what happens with this receiver core, including Keon Coleman, whether it's fair to him or not. But hey, you get drafted into this position, you got to be ready.
You got to be ready. And I think he's going to be ready. Like, he didn't play at the Derek Zoolander Center for Kids Who Can't Read good. He played at Florida State and was a hell of a receiver.
And Michigan, you know, State, he was great,
yeah,
there too.
And Michigan, yeah. State. So he has some experience at big schools. And so now he gets to play with one of the top three or four quarterbacks in the NFL. I think he's going to do well. Is he going to be Stephon Diggs? Like, that remains to be seen, because those are big shoes to fill.
Yeah, and this is why it makes this division so interesting, is because the Bills, the Dolphins, they were competing for it last year. And the Dolphins kind of in the same sense, too. It's like they didn't make a whole lot of roster moves either as far as like big changes go. But the Jets, they did, at least in getting Aaron Rodgers back. And then they added a few pieces on offense with Mike Williams, Braylon Allen, along with what they already had. So that's why this division is going to be, I think, one of the more fun to keep an eye on all year long.
Yeah. I think we can all agree on one thing. The Patriots are going to be last in this division. I think that's the only thing that we know.
Unfortunately, so. Seriously,
I think that's the only thing for sure we know about this division, is that the Patriots will not win this. But then you got three teams that you got a bunch of question marks around, but at least you know that they are in position, as far as their rosters are concerned, to be the top of that division. Potentially even the top of the AFC.
Yeah. And I'm just trying to think over some of the other divisions. Like, again, we talked about the AFC South last year, Texans, Colts, and Jaguars. That should be pretty interesting what happens there, which that's a division not normally people care about, but also I think quarterbacks help a lot in that. Like, you have three quarterbacks at the top of that division that are going to make that very enthralling.
I think the NFC East is also one of those, you know, one of those divisions that, man, we don't know what we're going to get from this New York team. I'm pretty sure we're going to get from New York. But Washington shocked a lot of people last year and, you know, winning some games. So maybe that Philadelphia and Dallas, we already expect them to kind of be duking it out for the top of that division. But then you throw in a potential Commanders, you know, coming in third maybe. So I think there are some teams that are, you know, the NFC South, because they're so bad, like, it could be any one of those teams that did something. But yeah, I think the AFC East is really that one division. It's like, man, there's three teams that could really be number one here.
And I think it's only fair to go to the NFC East next week. We did your division. We'll do my division next week. Let's Cowboys, Eagles, Giants, and the Commanders. NFC East preview next week.
Let's do that.
All right, let's wrap things up for Sports Sunday, the infamous return of Rashad Taylor. Wrap things up, hour two. Sports Sunday, 1080 The Fan. All right, wrapping things up here on Sports Sunday on 1080 The Fan. Joe Fisher, Rashad Taylor, glad to have you back, brother.
Great to see you guys, man. I'm glad to be back, man. I appreciate, again, for all the listeners and, you know, all of my, you know, fellow fan hosts, man. Thank you guys so much, man. I felt a lot of love, man. And, man, I honestly can't tell you guys thank you, you know, enough times, man. I really do appreciate y'all keeping me in your thoughts and my family in your thoughts and prayers. And so thank you so, so much, man.
Yeah, most definitely, dude. You are, again, it was having you not here. It was, you know, first couple of weeks we were rolling. We had a couple people sit in. I had a couple people come through. Jerry Benedetto, who I call the mustache of the Midway.
Love Jerry.
Jerry is known mostly from his pizzas. Jerry's Pizza was a COVID time, gosh, I don't even know how to say it. Like
a pop-up kind of restaurant.
Yeah, he was making pizzas basically like out of his house and then at a bar, and these pizzas blew up and just hundreds of people were ordering them. He would have, it was insane.
Well, like now, a month-long waiting list or something?
Yeah, something like
crazy.
Oh,
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, I remember that
this
story.
Guy, okay. Yeah, that's Jerry.
Yeah, so Jerry, and now he's got a bar Open right down the street from here.
Selling falafels.
Rashad, but it's a good place. We got to take you.
Yeah, it's 30th and Nikolai.
Jerry's Tavern.
Right over by the Adidas employee store.
Okay.
Montgomery Park, right over by there. So he opened that a couple months back. It's a great little dive bar, sports bar. How he describes it, it's like being at your grandma's basement.
Which is everybody's kick it spot.
Yes, exactly. It's a great spot. I watched the Iowa-South Carolina championship game, and it is a Midwest bar. So, like, any Midwest game that's going on, he's a Bears fan. His wife is a Packers fan.
Get some Chicago Bulls in the WGN. Yeah.
And then he is a Wisconsin Badgers fan. That is actually the Wisconsin Badgers bar. So whenever there's a Wisconsin football game on, it will be on there, and that's where alumni can go. And, you have something?
I have a great question for that. So, yeah, we got to get Jerry back in here, because I'd love to meet him. You know,
he's
one.
Awesome.
But where is your bar? Where's the Cowboys bar?
Oh, God, I don't even know what the Cowboys bar is.
Yeah.
Something tells me that I remember looking this up one time.
There
and
is
it,
one or
they
two.
Said it was like Spirit of 77. I was like, that's no. I was like, absolutely not. Really, I don't know any NFL team bars besides, I guess, Jerry's is a Bears Packers bar, Midwest bar. And then there's a Steelers bar on like 70 something in Gleason. And boy, this place, I went once. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Steelers fans, you can have it.
There was a San Francisco bar that was the Wooden Chicken, and that's not a thing anymore, I don't think. But the Patriots bar is just up the street. Yours?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's just it's the Patriots and Commanders. Jordan, what's your team? I always forget.
I'm an LA Rams fan. I don't think there's like a local Rams bar.
I'm almost for certain there is.
Well, I got to find it then.
Yeah, see, like, I looked this up. It says Spirit of 77.
But that's how the hell is that being a Cowboy? That's so effing weird.
Yeah, listen, I've seen multiple people post on here on this Reddit page.
I know there's like an Ohio State Buckeyes bar here, like a big one. There's a massive, like every Buckeyes game during the season, that bar is packed.
Yeah, as far as, I mean, this year, trust me, I'm not really clamoring to go watch my Cowboys this year. Will I watch them? Yes. Will it be one? It's going to be a very apathetic Cowboys year for me.
You think so?
Yes. Yes. Very much so.
I don't know. I don't know. I still expect something from the Cowboys.
Oh,
you know?
Everybody expects something from the Cowboys.
I don't expect them to win.
It's just a matter of what that something is.
I expect them to be in the playoffs or at least close to it. That's what I expect for the Cowboys.
I don't know, bud. Again, it's there's part of me that just wants this to be an absolute cluster F of a season and it all come crashing down so Jerry can just learn a lesson.
Jerry's finally not learning any lessons. Guys like Jerry Jones don't learn lessons.
I hope they can't figure out the CD contract, the Dak contract. Micah ends up wanting to get traded out and it just comes all crashing down. They lose all their best players and they're looking at like a 4-13 season and Jerry's like, my God, what has happened?
No, I mean, maybe after Jerry is, you know, and I hate to say this, but after
dead,
he's no longer with us, you know, after he's passed on, things will be better. But as long as he's in charge, unfortunately, you won't be going very far.
Well, it's okay, because once that happens, it just goes down to his son, right?
Yeah, I mean, and you hope his son is more, I guess, more competent than Jerry is. You hope.
Yeah, you hope. Oh, God. Yeah, it's been one of those off seasons where as soon as I start to like look into any sort of Cowboys stuff, like whether it's a draft pick or what's happening with some depth chart movement, I was starting to watch some film of Tyler Guyton, their first round left tackle, because I think it was Jeff Schwartz posted a video on Twitter. And after about 2 minutes, I'm like, why am I doing this?
Why am I putting myself through this?
Yeah,
man.
I'm getting myself
Bro,
all
are you
excited.
Mel Kiper?
Yeah. I'm like, what am I doing here? I'm getting excited for a left tackle first round draft pick when we're going to go probably 8-9 and miss out on the playoffs in some dramatic fashion. Damn it.
Yeah. This guy's got the hands to protect Dak Prescott for 11 games.
Hey, man, you can always cheer for your dad's team.
Go Fins, baby.
Go Fins, man. There you go.
Go Dolphins. And go football.
Can't
By
wait.
This time next Sunday, we'll have some college football that has been played.
Can't wait.
Seriously.
Appalachian State. Let's go.
For Jordan Schultz, for Rashad Taylor back in the studio.
Yes, sir. Love you guys.
I'm Joe Fisher. Thanks for tuning in to Sports Sunday on 1080 The Fan. We will catch you next Sunday. Peace.
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.